Gabriel, I got a strange call, but I had to say the following words. But again, I warn you, you are now within my home. And in my home, I speak openly what I think. I rather just want to get a little personal here and explain myself a bit, because well, there's some devotees I'm living here in Brahmakund, but I'm happy to live in a house where there are devotees of Krishna living only, I think, or mostly. And there's a temple downstairs and so on. And sometimes devotees ask me, you know, I'm a senior Vaishnava, supposed to be a good devotee in good standing, but why are you not coming to the programs? Not even the Sunday feast. And well, for me, you know, what I'm doing here, this Radio Krishna, is kind of my mission, a part of my mission. I just gave my life to this Sankirtan mission to some or other reach out and talk about Krishna, share this beautiful knowledge about Krishna to as many people as possible on this planet. And here I sit and see how media has boomed, exploded from some primitive, expensive, hard-worked local radio stations to this top-class video and audio and everything, to which 4 or 5 billion people are connected and could potentially see this. This is just wow. So this is where I work and have been working as far as my mission goes. But you know, when I turned 50, I got children, 2 sons, twin sons, and I wanted and want to be there for them as a good, loving father, caring father, who's there for them, and they should be able to say that when they are grown up, yes, our daddy was there with us. And that takes time. And I had to work a full-time job too, at the age of 60 plus. I got my first full-time job, but you know, I had to work as a householder to provide my share for the family. And then there was not so much time over. for me to do that which I feel is my mission in life. And that is now what I, because now I have more time, because I'm a pensioner. But I also can see the exit gate there in front. And I've got quite some projects that I would like to see completed before I leave this world. So that's my life. And when I read that, what Prabhupada said, that this spreading of knowledge is his main mission and our main mission, and you can do temples and all that and ashrams and all that if it's possible. But yes, they tend to attract neophytes, meaning, I guess, these ordinary religious people who like to go to the temple and do some pious activity or whatever, and or for whatever reason. But those who are attracted to knowledge about the Absolute are what Prabhupada wanted us to first turn to. Intelligent people. And that's why he told and encouraged his disciples who came here to start ISKCON in Sweden to do just that. So, I guess this would explain why some of us old-timers who, I just met with Pranava Prabhu the other couple of days ago again, and we were talking, took a walk, and, you know, we were on Sankirtan together back in Denmark, and he was Bhakta, I was Sankirtan leader, and then we were in Gothenburg Temple when I was temple president there. He was in charge, you know, the main congregational coordinator, whatever you call it. So we have that Sankirtan in our blood, so to speak. And there are other devotees out there who are the same. We're all Sankirtan men and women. And I also like to turn to all the old Sankirtan men and women who did that sacrifice of book distribution because they actually wanted to bring this knowledge, the Gita and the Bhagavatam and all of those, that knowledge there to people, because we are convinced that this is a great gift to them, a great help to everyone. Not just that we did it to get scores and satisfy our guru or something. So I just wanted to get a little personal like this also to, if you are a like-minded one, then get in touch or something, you know. I mean, why not? We can at least exchange some good words. But most importantly, here we have the Bhagavat Bhagavatas and the Gaudiya Mission and so on. And we just need to look at it to see that this is a fact. It's here to spread knowledge, not just to build temples where people ring the bells. And they sometimes spoke a little tough words in that direction also. And I repeat it here, maybe a little extra. Oh, he said, "Iskon may fall, but the BBT must remain." For those of you who know what that means. But again, I'm saying all this because I want to emphasize another thing. But I'm not saying that the life I live and now and how I do things and not do other things is how everyone should do it. That's kind of the point I'm making, that no, I lived as a brahmachari for 11 years. Basically 20 years, I mean, married brahmachari for the 7 or 8 year, whatever. So, and I was really into it. I mean, we were very, very, very deeply engaged in the Sankirtan movement. I mean, living in ashram and living in the temples and completely partaking in everything. I love that. I like that so much. I long back to it sometimes. But here I find myself in a different situation where that kind of life is really not possible right now, at least. But who knows what the future holds. But that's how I see it, that now, at this age, it's just up to Krishna. What Krishna wants me to do. And I feel I'm being pushed in a certain direction very clearly, and that's, well, this is part of it, what you hear and see here now. And what I'm doing, that, well, I guess it, I hope it will show up in due course of time, but nothing to speak about now. But that's the thing, we all have our lives, our different lives. For some, life in the temple and the ashram and so on, or at the farm, or here or there, India or the West, is what works, what makes you happy, makes it make sense of it. And I think that is important that we do, we allow ourselves to do. We are supposed to grow up, right? And when you're 70, 60, then you are grown up. So, I'm telling you, youngsters, yeah, brahmachari ki jai, brahmacharini, I mean, great, it's good for you. And you know, grihastha, responsible family life, taking care of your family and each other and learning to love and support and respect each other, yeah, do get into that and do it in a good way, and with Krishna at the center of the family, God. And here we are, old-timers, and the advice I give to you youngsters is that, well, let's be frank about it. When I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s, we knew better than these old farts. I mean, they were just devotees who had fallen in Maya, you know, they're not so fired up as we are. And here am I now. And you know what I say. If you say like that about me or to me, I don't say anything because I don't care. Here is Krishna. I'm busy with my service. I'm happy. And you be happy too with your life. And good luck. Now, if you would, which I guess may happen in a few years for all of us, that's what happened to us. All of a sudden, realized that, whoops, there was more to life than this. Then we old-timers could maybe give some piece of advice here and there based on hard-earned learnings in the school of hard knocks. But, you learn either by listening to those who have gone through that, or you go to that school yourself. I mean, it's... And of course, I know what most of us choose. But, yep, it's up to us. But as long as Krishna is there somehow or other in the center of our lives, then it's the way it should be. It's good. Could be better, could be less good, but it's good. It's the way it is. We are on our way. Slowly or fast doesn't matter. Because each step on this path is the goal in itself. Bhakti yoga. Being connected to God in love and devotion. Personal, nice relationship. So yeah, that's the way it is. It's getting late, but yeah, let's use the time we have left. And you youngsters, remember, time goes, it passes. We have a few thousand days. Let's spend them well. Hare Krishna.